Access number 30407, Mr. Ralph Curtin, Reel 7. Now, so you went to Bovington Camp, that was your, with the 43rd?
With the 43rd, yes.
Now, what happened at Bovington? What was it like at Bovington?
Well, we were paraded on the Barrack Square. We was given a talk by the commanding officer of the garrison, and told that we would be sent on 28th disembarkation leave. And thanked us for the service that we had accomplished in the period of time that we were aboard.
Now, what was your disembarkation leave like? I mean, you hadn't been in England for 2.5 years.
Well, eventually, of course, I arrived home, and my mother and father, of course, were very pleased to see me. So was my brother. And they were actually going, when I arrived home, they were actually going on holiday down to Margate. And father says to me, one of two things, you can either stay here and do everything yourself, or if you would like to, you could come with us on holiday to Margate, where we can have a fortnight down there. So I thought, right, I will. I'll go with you.
Now, is this, I mean, this is pretty time for Margate. It's November. Would that be right? Is that when you came back from... We think that's the wrong... this might, may even be career you're talking about there, when you came back from there. The thing with these things is we understand that it's similar, the thing. Do you remember anything? You don't remember much about your disembarkation leave then? From that first one?
Not really, no.
Because you certainly seem to have got back from India, according to your papers, well, you leave India on the 1st of October, 47. So we'll hold that story and perhaps... So did you rejoin? So then you go back to the unit. You've got nearly a year more to serve, haven't you? Because you seem to be released in September.
Yeah.
48. May have let you go earlier than that. I wonder if that's when you went to Margate. We think the Margate story is from when you left the army in round about August or September 1948. Anyway, what about your time at Bovington? Did you spend that year at Bovington?
No. I actually, they sent me up to Churchill Barracks Ayr.
Now, where's that?
Ayrshire, Scotland.
Oh, Ayr.
Ayr in AYR.
And who was that to join? When did you? So you left. You left 43rd straight away, did you?
I was on detachment.
Right. Okay. Now, what were you on detachment to Churchill Barracks for? Who were you joining up there?
Well, I was went up there to join the as a tank instructor for the TA. Territorial Army.
Which unit? Ayrshire Yeomanry.
Ayrshire Yeomanry. Yeah. The barracks was right on the seafront.
And this is Churchill Barracks.
Churchill Barracks, yeah. Yes.
And you went there almost since you got back then?
More or less, yes.
After Christmas.
After Christmas, yeah.
And what was it? What was that detachment like?
It was good. All I got was Friday and Saturday evenings. I would have personnel arrive, TA personnel, and I used to run them through the Cromwell. I had one Cromwell that was my responsibility, and give them lectures and on various bits and pieces, and a couple of times we went out on training exercises.
Were you allowed to take your
time? Only a couple of times, that was all. We used to run it round the outside edge of the barrack square. The RSM wouldn't allow me to go across it.
And what were they like, the lads? I mean, what did you think of them as the TA?
I thought they were very receptive. They appreciated the fact that we were trying, that I was trying to give them some good basic instruction. And they were quite nice, likeable lads.
What rank did you have at the time? Were you still a what rank were you?
Oh, still a trooper.
So no rank. Yeah.
No rank at all. No.
And where you so that was quite. It seems to have been quite a pleasant interlude up there.
It was because the colonel was very generous with his leave as such, and he used to give me 24 hours leave. Well, it wasn't long enough to get down to Birmingham and see my parents and come back again. So what I did, I made contact with a person in a pub one evening, and this person turned out to be a skipper of one of the trawlers that were based at that time in the harbour there. And two or three times I went with him on his boat as a ordinary dog's body, if you
deckhand,
or anything, making the tea and doing odd jobs, bits and pieces. And we went up round the Shetland Islands and around there fishing, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And obviously, he used to give me a couple of pounds or something, and a bucket full of fish, you know, mackerel or something, which I'd take back for the cook, who thoroughly enjoyed it, and everybody, you know. But that's what I did if I had 24 hours.
Anything else happened while you were with the Ayrshire?
Yes. I was playing football on the beach one day, which was 200 or 300 yards from the barracks. And somebody approached me and said, would I like to play for a semi-professional club? And I said, well, what's in it for me, as you do? And he said, well, officially we're not supposed to pay you, but something like a £5-6, something like that for the match. And I spoke to some of the chaps in the barracks, and they said, oh, yeah, go for it. And it turned out to be Stenhousemuir. So I had two games with them.
As a professional footballer, as a footballer?
Yeah, outside right.
And in the league?
Yeah. And I did quite well. But I was told afterwards, so I think somebody found out about it, and they told me not to do it anymore. So I didn't.
That's a really high level.
Hmm?
I mean, Scottish league football.
Yeah.
You did well. You were up to the standard, obviously.
Oh yes. Oh yes. They wanted me to carry on, but as I say, I was told by somebody in authority not to continue doing it, as it broke rules and regulations.
did it make you think of a professional football career?
No.
Why not? Did you just...
To be honest, I didn't think I was good enough. But obviously some other people thought otherwise, so...
Now, anything else while you're up there?
I played a round of golf on the air course. A Troon?
Or the famous cup.
The famous Troon, yes. I did play a game of...
Was that a special thing?
It was a one-off. I did enjoy it, though. Borrowed some clubs and had a round on the old Troon course.
Did you play much golf, or other than that, you know?
Well, I did play when I... came home eventually, but that was later on.
So what next?
I was discharged.
Now, what's your status? Are you a regular? What's happening to you? I mean...
Oh, I was...
You weren't a regular?
I wasn't a regular.
So you're very late being discharged then. I mean, were you aware of how late it was? I wondered if you'd signed on, that's what.
No,
you hadn't signed on, right.
No.
So tell me about your demobilisation. That was, it's dated September 1948. What do you remember of the whole demob procedure?
Oh, that was funny, that was. Again, went back to Bovington, the place where everything takes place, going out, coming back, a demob, whatever. And they arrived there, and over the process of about a week, I suppose, we went through all sorts of handing in kits, having lectures on civilian life and so on and so forth.
Now, tell me a bit about that. What were the lectures about? I mean, I know what you said.
Well,
what were they telling you is what I mean.
How to pick up in civilian life to be true to yourself, so on and so forth, and set a good example to other people. And take with you from the army the attitude that, you know, they drilled it into you in every way, which was good, really, when you think about it, because you'd got to a standard of your own personal hygiene, personal preferences, and so on and so forth. Take them with you into civilian life.
Now, did they warn you about some of the pitfalls? Because some soldiers can fall into what, drinking. They find it boring. They drink a bit too much. They get into a bit of trouble. Did they warn you about that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, they did. And to be honest, I did find life in civilian street very boring.
Okay, right. Okay. So now, what else happened? What did they? You handed in your kit.
Handed in the kit. Yeah, and then.
Did you get a demob suit?
Yes, they sent us along to these particular barracks where they had all different shades of suits and underwear and all sorts of stuff, shoes and hats. And
now, people can be very rude about demob suits.
Oh, yeah.
But what was the choice like? What were they like?
Well, mine wasn't bad. It was a sort of a herringbone, if I remember right. Looking back on it, I think it was a bit loud, but...
Would you have bought it yourself? Was it of the sort of quality?
Subsequently, no, I wouldn't have bought it. But it looked better than some of them, most of them anyway. And
was it a reasonable quality? I mean, like it might have been a bit loud, you're thinking.
It was a bit loudish.
But was the quality all right?
Yeah, the quality.
Well, reasonably cut, decent cloth.
Yeah, I mean, it fitted me. It fitted. And then, of course, we were allowed a kit bag, one kit bag, just a kit bag.
Now, did you ever think at that time of staying in the army? Because it was 48, I mean, they were starting to allow people to stay on then. Did you think of staying on?
I didn't at the time.
Why not?
Well, I'd been in India for quite a while, and I came home, and I wanted to settle down for a little while, and I thought I'd be all right. Subsequently, that didn't work along those lines. But
so you just fancied being a civilian for a while?
I thought I'd have a crack at it, yes. Yeah.
Now, when you came out, where did you go? Back to Birmingham?
I went back to, Mum and Dad. And
I think that's probably when this holiday business
came in.
Margate, because that would be round about August, September. The date is September, but you probably had leave.
So
it would be August or July.
August,
even, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if there's anything about that leave, that holiday at Margate, you remember?
Well, yes. Mum and Dad were going on leave, going on holiday, and said that if you want to come with us, we're going down to Margate, so it meant I would be on my own and do everything myself, and I wasn't particularly keen on that at the time. So I said, yeah, I'll come with her. So we went to Margate. And we went for a fortnight, if I remember rightly, a week. And while we were there, there was... Mum and Dad were speaking to a couple, and they had a daughter with them. And we went walking along the front and talking and that sort of thing, and over a couple of days, it turned out that they said, well, we're going to, the other parents said, we're going to see so-and-so, would you like to come along? And I said, yeah, we'd go along. And apparently they'd said the same to the young girl. And as we got to this, near this place, they sort of said, oh, well, I think we'll go and see so-and-so. How about you? To the other couple. And eventually it turned out that the girl and I were left on our own. And being the gentleman that I was at the time, I said, oh, well, I'll look after the girl, you know. And off we went. And that's the start of our relationship as such.
That's where you met your future wife.
That's it. That's where I met my future wife. On a wintry... No, it was nice. Nice sunny day in Margate. On the front. And we went down on the beach, did we not? And a photographer came along. And... we had two deck chairs, which we put astutely side by side with a space in between, as you did in those days. And then he said, well, you need to get them a bit closer to get you in the frame, so move the chairs. And I put my hand very tentatively behind Hazel's head. Behind. And that's when she nearly jumped out of her skin.
That's a nice story. So that was one good thing that was happening to you when you came out there.
Yeah.
Now, but you did have some problems. What sort of problems were you having when you came out of the army?
I couldn't settle.
Now, what couldn't you settle to? Was it just a civilian
way? Civilian way of life, I think.
Now, what kind of thing was upsetting or annoying you, or wasn't right, as far as you were concerned?
I suppose it was being enclosed, pressing down on me, clocking in, clocking out. Was all sorts of things, little things.
How did you cope? I mean, did you start drinking did you show you were upset or not upset? You
know? Well, I think my mother and father realised I wasn't completely happy. I used to stay out a lot. I didn't drink. I had a drink, but nothing desperate. I never have been one for too much drink. But I couldn't get interested in anything. It was boring.
Not even football, or?
Well, I used to go to football matches, and that's what I used to do.
You didn't play, though?
No.
Now, what about work? Because, I mean, that could have given you something to do. I mean, it sounds like you're working in a factory if you're clocking on and off.
Well.
What were you doing?
I got a job with the GPO in Birmingham.
What as?
A mechanic. And I had to do an introductory basic testing sequence where they would set up an engine, and they would mix all the leads up and put some paper between the points of the distributor and turn
this
the...
This is on vehicles again, the vans and things.
Turn the petrol tap off and all sorts of things and say, right, there's the vehicle, get it going. Find the defects. And obviously I passed that with flying colours, so they took me on. And
so it's a garage, post office garage?
Yeah, it was the main base in Birmingham, the GPO depot in Birmingham, and where they serviced all their vehicles, heavy ones and so on and so forth.
And you didn't like this, though?
I didn't particularly like this. No, I didn't like it at all. What put me off was they said I had to go on night duty, and I didn't particularly like working through the hours of the night and coming home in the early hours of the morning. And in the early hours of the morning in Birmingham in those days, there was no transport running. And I had no bike, no means. It was a foot slug in from the centre of Birmingham, right the way down all through the lower Lozells, up through Sparkbrook and then into Ladywood, Birmingham. It was a long walk. And I thought, no, I don't think I'll like this.
Now, how long did you do it for?
I think I was there less than 4 to 5 months, no longer.
So just about into 49.
Yeah. I did have, I then got a situation with Lions Limited. They're a subsidiary of Cadbury's, the transport division. And that was
is that
in
L-Y-O-N-S or L-I?
L-Y...
Yeah, the catering side, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you're on the transport.
On the transport.
A mechanic again or driving?
Mechanic. And I worked in the shops for quite a while, and then I got on very well with the foreman. And one day he said to me, in the course of conversation, I used to get on the train as soon as I'd left work, I'd got a bag with me, and I'd get on the train, come down to London, and to see Hazel. And we were courting at the time. So the foreman said to me one day, you go down to London, I understand. And I said, yes, my fiancé is down there. So he said, how would you like to combine it, he said, and help yourself? He said, by taking one of the trucks down there. Now, what we used to do there was to get, they used to come up from London. They were driven up from London. They were completely overstripped and overhauled and put back into first-class condition. And then they had to be returned down to the depot at Park Royal. And that was what transpired eventually. It was that I used to go down of a weekend whenever I could, whenever the vehicle was available. I'd drive it down there to Park Royal, take the tube to Leytonstone, where my fiancé was, and then come back on. But most times there would be a vehicle or something to go back for repair. So it was down one night, travel as soon as I could, leave from work, drive it straight down there, get it signed off, go and see Hazel, back on the Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, pick up a vehicle and bring it back to Birmingham. And that's what I did.
So how long does this go on for?
Well, until such times as I eventually...
So what happens next then? Because you don't stay in Birmingham for long then, do you? What happens next?
So anyway, I eventually went down to London to stay down there, I thought. And I got a job on one of the local garages at Leytonstone. And
so when did you come to London? So you came down in 49.
Yeah.
You were working in a garage.
That's right.
This was fundamentally to be near your future wife.
That's right. Yeah.
So then what happens? So you're working in a garage, you're seeing your future wife. You're courting, is the word.
That's right, we were courting. And I heard from my brother, heard that my brother had gone, was going to Korea. And
tell me the background to it. He joined what? And when had he done it?
He was a regular a corporal in the 8th King's Royal Irish Hussars. And there was a letter saying that the regiment were going to Korea, and it's a hell of a long way away. And my father had always said to me, look after your brother. And funny thing about it was, when I realised that he was going out to Korea, I thought there was a distinct possibility, you know. I couldn't believe that although he's a regular soldier, he could look after himself. Funny enough. And it disturbed me very much so. And I thought, oh, well, there was nothing for it. I thought, I can't do anything unless I go and get out there and join him and look after him.
Now, but the chances of being posted to that union were quite remote.
Very remote.
I mean, you know, I know you got there, and, yeah, and that'll be the story we're going to tell. But, yeah, I mean, you must have, what made you think, or were you not thinking that clearly?
I don't think I was thinking clearly at the time.
Was part of it, or a little part of it, that you wanted to be back in the army anyway?
I felt, yes, I felt more comfortable back in the fold, as it were. There is the thing that the army looks after you, and I suppose I must have felt vulnerable in some way, somehow, and consequently I thought, well, the best thing I can do is they were calling for volunteers, and it was a decision I thought about for quite some time, and I decided to go in the finish.
Now, in an effort to try and get with your brother and any way to become a regular again, yeah, you were joining as a regular?
As a volunteer.
A volunteer regular, yeah.
18 months.
Now, an 18
months? 18 months. I knew it was only 18 months, and I thought I could do 18 months.
Now, how did you go about signing up? Where did you go?
Back to Birmingham. And I signed up in Birmingham.
Now, you've just given me to look at the actual attestation paper you filled in at the time, which was filled in on the 25th of September 1950, which is when we thought it was. And you've joined up. Now, did you know what you were joining? It's the Royal Armoured Corps, it says here.
It's the Royal Armoured Corps.
Because that was the idea, to join your brother.
That's right.
And was there any questioning or anything, or was it just pretty easy? Did they just want you when you turn up?
When I showed them my ex-army papers, they said, fine, great, that's what we need.
There's no question of anything else? I mean,
no.
Did you tell them that you wanted to be in the same unit?
I did actually.
What did they say?
Well, there won't be any problem. And when I got down to Bovington and was actually inducted and everything went through as per usual thing, I was told that I was seconded to the a Churchill regiment.
Now, hang on, we'll come back to that. Now, there's one other thing we have to deal with, and that is because you didn't tell people what you were doing. You didn't tell your future wife.
No.
Can you just tell me? I don't want to embarrass you. I know she's looking daggers at you now. But
I felt very guilty about it.
It is strange that you didn't tell her, you know.
Yes, I was very disturbed in the sense that I had a conflict of interests here. One, my brother was going into imminent danger, and the other was I was courting this lovely girl, and I thought to myself, well, Dennis is in more danger than Hazel, and hopefully I could make it up to Hazel later on. If that was acceptable. If it wasn't, I'd have to accept it. So that was the decision I came to, and that was the decision that I followed through.
You didn't tell her, though?
I didn't tell her, but when I got to Southampton, I realised that I owed her more than a telegram or whatever. I needed to speak to her, so I phoned and asked her if she'd wait for me. I think I said I was sorry, but, you know, I explained. I don't know. Did I explain?
Did you tell your parents?
I did tell my parents, yes, because they had to know I was going to Korea. Obviously, father, at the time, I spoke to him, and he said, well, you know, he said, it's your decision. He said, I think he was pleased to think that I was going.
It was him that put the thing in your mind in the first place.
Yes.
Because this
yes.
was the business about looking after your brother.
After your brother.
He'd always told you that.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. Right from the start.
So he didn't object. What about your mother?
She cried. Mum cried. She was upset. She was very upset. She said, I shall lose the two of you. And